Amen. Thank you, Jim. Open your Bibles here tonight, the book of Matthew. We'll be in Matthew chapter 20, but we're going to start in 19, in the 19, to set this up here a little bit. And talking about God's kingdom. What is the kingdom of God like? And God has given us many teachings in Scripture, and this is just one snapshot of what God's kingdom is like and how we should view the kingdom of God and what we should think. Well, in this situation here, we'll pick up our reading in Matthew 19, verse 25. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And the story before that was the rich young ruler, and Jesus says, "Come and follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." And young man heard that in verse 22 and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus told him, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, whose trust is in his earthly riches." When the disciples heard it, verse 25, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Let's pray here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God, that, Father, you have gone to prepare a place for us, and where you are, there we shall be also. And Father, thank you for your kingdom. And Father, as servants of the great King and part of your kingdom, Lord, help us tonight as we look at this teaching about the kingdom of God and what you have in store for us. So, Lord, bless us and keep us close to thee. And, Father, help me be a servant that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, your word. And, Father, may the Holy Spirit move in each heart here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, what is God's kingdom going to be like? Well, Peter's sitting there thinking, and he didn't have many riches. He's thinking, we've left everything and followed thee in verse 27. Well, Jesus gave a great promise here. He said, "Truly, verily, I say to you, ye which have followed me in the regeneration, in the kingdom of God, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive," what's that next word? In verse 29, 100-fold. So that means if it's a dollar, it'd be $100. 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Is that a great promise, how God's going to bless those that love him and serve him? "But as many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Now, those are great promises. But what we want to keep in mind is Jesus takes this, and he was trying to be so careful with Peter. Now, I don't know if some of you are like Peter, but I'm glad the Lord tells me once and tells me twice, and then he tells me again, because sometimes I don't get it the first time around or second time around, and he's very patient with us. And he explains this because he didn't want Peter to understand that our motivation, why do we do what we do? And he wanted to be careful here. That's why he rolls into chapter 20 here. That's kind of setting this up here. The Lord wanted to make sure Peter didn't have a false motive for serving God. Even though God's going to bless us, even though God's going to reward us, God's not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love that we've shown toward his name, and that we minister and do minister to the saints, Hebrews 6:10. But in chapter 20, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, a landowner, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard." And what they would do is people would gather like in the square or whatever, and a farmer would come along and say, "I need 10 guys today. I got my crops coming in. Anybody here work?" "No, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it." And so he went out early in the morning. And like the labor pool here, guys would gather, and the farmers that had need of laborers, they could hire them. Went out in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers, in other words, they had like this contract kind of drawn up, laborers say, "Well, how much you can pay me, and, what do you want to work, and how much, and they finally agreed. When they agreed for a penny a day, a denarius, He sent them into his vineyard. In other words, they worked out a contract price. This is how much we're going to work for. And agreed for a penny a day. One denarius. That was the average pay of a worker. Okay? So they're working in the vineyard. Verse 3. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatever so is right, I will give you. Now, what's the difference between those in verse 4 and those in verse 2? The ones in verse 2 said, I'm going to work for a penny a day. That's our agreement. Now, the next verse, down in verse 4, how much had they agreed to work for? Was there a set price?
A penny a day.
Well, not in verse 4.
Wherever they decided at the end.
Yeah. They were totally trusting who? The landowner. Yeah, they were trusting him. Okay. All right, well, I don't know how much I'm going to get paid, but whatever you think, whatever I give you, I said, they say, okay, that's fine. We can live with that. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour. Now, 6 in the morning, if that's when they started, and went about the sixth hour, 9 o'clock, the ninth hour, be noon. 11th hour would be 5 o'clock. he went out. So like 12 and in the ninth hour, 11th hour was be 5 o'clock. He went out and found others standing idle. He said to them, why stand ye here all the day and day idle? And he said to them, because no man's hired us. All day long, they've been sitting there waiting for some work to do. It's going to be 6 o'clock, the end of the day, 12 hour day. 5 o'clock, he said, and they said to him, because no man's hired us, he saith to them, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. No contract, just trusting the landowner. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard says to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, their wages, beginning from the last until the first. Now, as we go through this, he set this up a certain way because he could have paid the first people first, but he says, no, I want you to pay the last people first. Okay, so he set this up. Verse 9, when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that's like 5 p.m., they worked 1 hour, they received every man a penny. Now, in this line of workers, the people hired last, and then the very people that were hired first at the end of the line, these guys standing up there saying, hey, that guy worked an hour. He got a penny. Maybe this is bonus day. Now, if they'd worked 12 hours, how much would they have gotten then? If the guy that worked an hour got a penny, what do you think they're thinking? 12 pennies. I'm going to get 12 denarius. They're standing in the back of the line saying, whoa, did you see what he got? Okay. So, every man a penny, one denarius. Verse 9, when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received. Now, you had those at the 11th hour, the 9th hour, the 3rd hour, or rather the 6th hour. All these people, and every time they saw them getting a penny, their hopes kind of went down a little bit. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if they thought they were going to get 12 pennies, then all of a sudden the guy that got the ninth hour got a penny, and the guy that got the sixth hour's got a penny, and all of a sudden they're getting in line. And what happens here? They came that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Now, what had they agreed to work for? A penny. When they had received it, they murmured, complained, grumbled against the good man of the house, the landowner, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. We just got gypped. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I did thee no wrong, Did thou not agree with me for one denarius a penny? That was the contract. So he gave them just what they asked for and agreed to. Is that fair? Very fair. Take that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what is mine own, what I will with mine own? Now, here's the thing. Is your eye evil because I am good? Is your eye stingy because I am generous? Now, think about this for a minute. Okay, the man that worked 1 hour, potentially he could have had a wife at home. He could have had kids at home. He could have had bills he needed to pay. And when he got a penny, how did he feel about the landowner? He was very what with me?
Generous.
Very generous. Very generous. And he probably went home and said, sweetheart, you never believe what happened today. This guy, I waited all day long. I would work, but there was no work to do. Finally, this guy came out of nowhere. The sun was setting. And he said, go work. And I thought, oh, just 1 hour, what a good is that? But I went. He gave me a whole day's wages. Now, how do you think they sat around the table? They probably went, hallelujah, you know, praise the Lord. I got a whole day's wages, but only work. That's a good, generous man. Now, the kingdom of heaven. What is God like?
Generous.
He's generous. Now, for Peter, when he asked, we've forsaken all in verse 27. Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What is God's kingdom like? He's very generous. If you trust him, he's going to give you exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And it's possible that those who are hired at the first hour, if they just said to the good man, sir, I know you're a good man, and I know your reputation. You're very generous and kind. I don't want a contract with you. I'm just going to trust you to do what's right. If they had went that way, they might have gotten more than a penny. But because they agreed to work for a penny, he just gave them one denarius. But I think the point of this teaching here is that when we serve the Lord, like Peter is saying, God, what we've forsaken all and follow you. And God's saying, I know that. And when you get into my kingdom, I'm going to give you more than you could ever imagine. I'm very generous. And so what we need to do is not to be motivated like it's a contract. If I do this, God's going to do this for me. But just to trust him and relax in his care, that God knows the sacrifices we make for him, and he knows what we go through. Now, verse 16, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. As God looks over the landscape of his people, I know God's character, and he will bless those that have loved and served and followed him more than we could ever imagine. Because he can look down through. He knows why we did what we did. He knows when we did what we did. He knows how we did what we did. He knows the motivation of our heart. And he's very generous. And he's a good God. And we can trust him to honor our love and devotion to him. And the things that we have surrendered to him, he's able to make up to us again. So what kind of eye do you have? Well, these laborers that labored for a penny, verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will of my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And sometimes we can see things a certain way, but that's not how God sees it. And we have to have that divine perspective. So God's a good God, that we can trust him and he will honor us in eternity for the sacrifices we've made for him. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And Father, you're a great and gracious God, and very generous. And Father, you know the needs each of us have. So Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for watching over us. And Father, we thank you for providing for us not only now, but in eternity. And Lord, you know all that we go through as believers. And yet, Lord, that you will not fail to honor us as we've honored you. And we thank you for that, Lord, that we can serve you and just relax in your care and your goodness to us as your people. And you know our needs, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.